best country music. It's 10 o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. It's great to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ this morning as the Lord himself, by his word and his spirit, leads us to fellowship together around his word and his gifts. So we're blessed to be together. We welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning. Thank you for joining us for our service as well. And we rejoice because the Lord has given us so much. not only in this life, but also in the life to come. And even though there's troubles in the world, the Lord rescues us, as the psalm says, from our troubles. And he is our sure hope and our deliverer. And we rejoice in his strength this morning. And we begin our service with our opening hymn. It's hymn number 825, Rise, Shine, You People. Let's sing together, 825. It is with joy this morning that we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But when you hear his forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We continue with our intro this morning from Psalm 31. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Be strong, and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. We continue with our Kyrie. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our support and defense in every need, continue to preserve your church in safety. Govern her by your goodness and bless her with your peace. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today comes from the 50th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. And we definitely, as many of Isaiah's prophecies, especially in chapters 50 through 55, we hear about Jesus and his reality, even from the words of the prophet Isaiah. We begin in verse 4 of chapter 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord. and rely on his God. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with our epistle lesson this morning from the book of James, the third chapter. The Apostle James writes, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Invite the congregation to stand now as we sing our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to Jesus and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Would you join us now in in confessing our faith together this morning from the words of the Apostles' Creed? And following the creed, we'll sing our doxology before the sermon. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text from the gospel reading of Mark this morning is a doozy. It seems like it's only about an exorcism, or it's only about the power of Jesus, both which it is about. But I think, along with those things and others, the text is also about doubt. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning from the reading. Doubt. Because life can get crazy. And I hope that your life isn't feeling crazy this morning. I hope this morning for you is one of those mornings when you woke up and went, "Woohoo!" Jumped out of bed, came to church, so excited about life. I hope that was your morning. Because some days feel fine, right? But then there's these other days where it feels like life is sort of spinning out of control for us. I know I don't have to talk about that too much. We all live in this world. In our text from Mark 9, we have a man whose life undoubtedly feels like it's spinning out of control. Like, look at this situation that he's dealing with. His son has a real demon or an unclean spirit, and he knows it. He brings the boy to Jesus for help. I'm sure he'd heard about what Jesus was doing. The boy, according to verse 20 of our reading this morning, starts convulsing. And this is quite an image, right? He's convulsing, he's rolling on the ground, he's foaming at the mouth. And the man told Jesus, this has been going on since his childhood, since early in his life. His whole life it's been happening. And the demon has tried to take the boy's life in the past with fire and water, is what the text tells us. Could you imagine this man's peril in this situation? I mean, we have some tough situations too, right? But this is a tough one that we're reading about this morning. Talk about having your compass spinning, having things feel like they're spinning out of control. And the man comes looking for help from Jesus, right? Smart move. But guess who isn't present when the man shows up? Also, Jesus. He wasn't there. That's what our text tells us. Where was he? Well, in Mark's gospel, he's up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, John, and Moses, and Elijah. If you notice, if you look at the text with me this morning for just a second, you'll notice that the beginning reads kind of weird. Look at verse 14 with me for a second. You expect it to be in the singular here, but it's not. It's in the plural. Verse 14 says, and when they came to the disciples, not when he came to the disciples, but when they came, who's they? Well, it's the four of them. Peter, James, John, and Jesus all coming from the Mount of Transfiguration after that's done into this narrative. That's what's going on. They find nine other disciples arguing with the scribes. That's the situation. And then it's right then that Jesus is back on the scene and the man realizes Jesus is there when he cries out from the crowd, Jesus, or teacher, I brought you my son, or I brought my son to you. In this tough situation, it's easy to see. He's probably wondering if anybody can help him at all, right? With this problem. Verse 22, he says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And it's easy to jump to Jesus' response there, but I encourage you this morning to look at the pronouns. He doesn't say, but if you can do anything, help my son, does he? Revealing that he's also in a world-spinning situation. He says, if you can do anything, help us. This man's obviously suffering. His life is a mess too. They both need Jesus' help. So do you. And so do I. We all do. The things that grant us comfort so often in this life, they're only temporary. The Lord is our helper. He is our salvation. One day we'll see it like it is. But Jesus' response to the man then is quite striking here. When the man says, but if you can do anything, Jesus says, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. That's why we started this morning saying the text is about doubt. For what does Jesus hear and respond to in this man's statement? His doubt. Jesus reassures him, right? All things are possible for one who believes. And what does the man say next? These beautiful, beautiful words. He says, I believe. Help my unbelief. See, the best thing we can do with our doubt, tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Don't hide it. Confess it to God. Because the situations that happen to us in our lives often lead to this same place. In fact, that's the biggest problem with the way life can get, the way it can start spinning around and feel like it's spinning out of control. The biggest problem is that those situations cause us as believers to doubt that God really loves us, to doubt that God's really caring for us in this life and in this world, even amidst trouble. To doubt that God really forgives us at times. To doubt that God is willing to help. And you know why we doubt? Because we've seen. We've looked around. We've paid attention to this world. And we've seen lots of people who were in need of God's help. And they just didn't really get it the way that they thought they should. Or the way that we thought they should. We've seen it. And we wonder sometimes, is this stuff even real? Does God even hear my prayers? Those kinds of thoughts, right? Can we be honest about them this morning? That's what I'm asking. Because everybody deals with that kind of garbage. All of us. Those thoughts go through our minds. Doubt, doubt, doubt. When life's feeling crazy, our faith will lead us to Jesus and thank God for it. It'll lead us to His Word, to church even, to prayer. But like the man in the text this morning, mixed in with our prayers and our requests, there's always this other thing called unbelief. Or doubt. So what's the best thing to do with our doubt? Tell it to Jesus. Confess it to God, just like the man does in the story. After all, Jesus crucified doubt on the cross. He killed unbelief when he destroyed the old nature. I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. But then it doubles down, because when we hear things like this, all things are possible for one who believes, when we hear Jesus' response, then what do? We think, oh, well, maybe that's why it's not working out the way I planned it to work out in my life. Maybe I don't have enough faith if all things are possible for one who believes. I'm secretly wondering if Jesus can help me, or the cousin of that, if he will help me. We either doubt his existence, or we doubt his ability, or we doubt his willingness to help us at all. We think sometimes even maybe I'm just not good enough for God to help me. Maybe God's mad at me because of these sins that are still haunting us in the back of our minds, even years, if not decades, if not longer later. We've all got them. They're there. The devil likes to bring them back up. Side note, that's why our Lutheran confessions say that private confession and absolution should not fall into disuse in our churches. Because God doesn't want that garbage coming back. He wants us to hear in a real way that we're forgiven at a real time, in a real place. But those things come. It's sad and it's terrible, right? But doubt, doubt, doubt. But what's the best thing to do with it? Tell it to Jesus. Look what happens. The man doesn't hide his doubt in our text, does he? But includes it in his request to Jesus. Being honest and saying, I believe, but help my unbelief. We too should recognize clearly that between us and God, there are no secrets. Pretending is only fooling ourselves. Don't be afraid of your doubt. Rather, confess it. I mean, this is the most beautiful thing about God's Word and about church. One of the most gorgeous things, right? Is that you can actually be yourself with Him. like pretending like we so often do. Like, well, I have to be, you know, this person in front of these people, and then I've got to be this person in front of these people. And we go through our day sort of doing that sometimes, right? Putting on different sort of versions of ourselves for the people that we're around. For God, we don't have to do that. The rest and the peace in the gospel allows us, Jesus' death and resurrection allows us to just be our doubting selves with him. He's our Father. He loves us. He's not looking at us trying to see if we're good enough for him. He's not sitting up on a cloud somewhere in a throne with his big long beard just judging you. No, he's here. He said it himself. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. If we need help, and when we need help, and when life feels like it's spinning out of control a little bit, when things feel unsteady and uneasy, let the scriptures show us that our doubt will not stop our Lord Jesus. It did not stop him there, did it? It didn't. He still helped the man and his son, and he'll still help us. It didn't stop him. See, because the Bible tells us, Jesus' words, all authority, he says, on heaven and on earth, he says, has been given to me. It wasn't given to you, and it wasn't given to me. It was given to Christ. All authority. And he says also to us in the same thread in John's gospel, in this life, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. How many of us this morning secretly trying to overcome the world in the situation in our life? That's what we're really doing. He overcame the world. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And he'll help us. Our doubt will not stop him. When we worry, I know sometimes some people struggle with worry more than others, but when we worry, it's unbelief. That's what it really is. When we fret, some people struggle with that a lot too. It's unbelief. It's doubting. When we're angry, it's unbelief. If we're seeking revenge, trying to even the score, it's unbelief. The scriptures tell us, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Can you hear it? Who are you thinking needs to be repaid for something? The Lord says, vengeance is mine. Faith in those words help us that when we're seeking revenge, we're actually just doubting those words. And when we worry, we're doubting that God will care for us and give us the things that we need when he promises to do it. And anger. How is anger doubting? How is anger unbelief? Well, when we're angry, it's normally because of a perceived injustice. Someone's done something, or someone's left something undone, and we get angry when we hear about it. That's unbelief too. Do we not trust God to bring justice in his time and in his way, as he promises to do? Or are we gonna go after it according to our own terms? And you know what the problem with that is? Is in many of these situations, even like the election that's coming up, in many of those situations, we can go to the ballot box and vote, and I'll tell you right now, even as a preacher, I can tell you, go to the ballot box and vote, I can say that. But that's where our ability to necessarily affect this, probably the best way we can do it is right there. So when it makes you angry on the inside, and you walk around angry all the time about whatever is going on, it's unbelief. It's doubting in disguise. You know what? It's messing you up right here. And it messes me up sometimes too, that anger that we feel. God is in control. He promises to take care of you and me, his dear children. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the field. Are you not of much more value than they? He remains in control over all these situations, friends. And his word tells us. Why do we doubt so much? I mean, Jesus' words strike home this morning when he says to his disciples, and this is a harsh thing to say to his disciples. He says, "O faithless generation, what's the best thing to do with that doubt? Whether it's showing itself as worrying or fretting, whether it's revealing itself as anger or some other thing, the best thing to do with it is tell it to Jesus. Confess to God. Seek his forgiveness, because that is our righteousness. He is our righteousness, like the prophet Jeremiah says. He's in authority over all things, and he loves you, and he cares for you, and he died for you, and he rose again, and he's already sealed you, yes, you, in the waters of holy baptism. Sealed with the promise of salvation in the Holy Spirit. And he's poured out so many blessings on our lives. And he showed us time and time and time again how loving he is and how he will help us. He might not do it our way or on our timetable or do exactly what we want to see happen in those situations, but he will show up and he will help. Imagine the man in the story was quite disheartened when he showed up to find Jesus with his boy, right? And Jesus wasn't there. And he literally had to wait. The disciples couldn't help him. They tried, couldn't cast it out. But did Jesus arrive and help? You better believe it. Did Jesus show up and help? You better believe it. Are you waiting? Right now in your life, are you waiting for his help, wondering when and how he's going to show up in this situation or that situation? I am. Hear his word this morning and believe that all things work to the good of those who believe and are called according to his purpose. And Jesus said these words, hear them. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I have overcome the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Are we still doubting this morning? My homiletics professor at the seminary told us when he was teaching us homiletics, he said, you know, the text that you read that morning that you get up to preach should always do to the people who heard it the same thing that it did to the people who heard it that were in the actual event when it took place. And by the people who are hearing this, I'm also included in that. So if we're still doubting to this morning, then I say to you, doubting spirit, come out in the name of Jesus and never enter into us again. The Lord rebuke you. Now we go and we take some food and be refreshed by his holy supper, because God will never, never give up on his children. He never will. But be wise to how he's helping you and me. Be wise, because he's often, as we wait for him to show up in whatever situation we're dealing with, as we wait, he's also helping us in other ways, and he's teaching us important and valuable lessons about ourselves and about him and about his kingdom and about how it's working in the world. He's doing that in the text with the man this morning in chapter 9. And he's probably simultaneously teaching you and me something given the situation that we're going through in our lives right now. But while we wait for him to show up in that situation and see how he's coming to our rescue, know that he's already here and he's already working. And he's changing things in our hearts by what he's doing and what he's allowing and what he's brought to us. We can trust him. He will never leave. He will never forsake us. We are his children. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, we believe. Help our unbelief. Sustain us through the many troubles and trials of this world when unclean spirits afflict us and those that we love. Revive our trust in you, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given your beloved Son the tongue of the one who is taught, that he may know how to sustain with a word those who are weary. Prosper in every place the preaching of your gospel. By your Spirit, enable your people to proclaim the word with clarity and joy. And by the same Spirit, open the ears of us all to hear and believe with gladness and action. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, guard the tongues of our governing authorities. Lord, especially those that are in leadership in our country, in our state, and in our local leadership, that they may not stumble in what they say, but speak wisely, leading in accord with your will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you have promised that all things are possible for one who believes. Lord, in such faith, in that faith, we bring before you those that we name this morning from the altar. We ask for your help and healing and protection and peace for the Burr family, for Ella Gonzalez, for Kenny Rodman, for Dick Greitz, Donna Erke, Richard Lynch, the family of Pastor Chris Gerdes, Janice Ross, Betty Mae Paulson, Lori Hauser, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jury, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, we ask you in faith to grant them health and healing. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we know that your Son is near in his holy supper, giving in his body and his blood his saving righteousness for the forgiveness of sins. Grant repentance and faith to all who come to his table, that they may welcome him with joy, praying, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, and telling and confessing our doubt to you. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the suffering and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation, rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead. We draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest, gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We have a special blessing this morning during our service, reception of a new member. So we invite Susan to come up. If you haven't got a chance to meet or know Susan yet, Susan is a real joy. She's a sweet, sweet person, and she's going like this, I don't know. She has an amazing background. Her life is a really fun story. If you haven't had a chance for her to tell it to you, I'm sure she'd love to. But we're blessed to have Susan with us. And Miss Audra, thank you so much. So we'll go through our reception of members right this morning with Susan. So I'm just going to kneel down here beside you, okay? Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord." Are you ready? Susan, do you this day in the presence of God and this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism? If so, say, "Yes, I do."
I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, say, "Yes, I renounce them."
Yes, I renounce the devil.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit? If so, say, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I do.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God?
Yes.
And the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church draw from them and confess in the small catechism to be faithful and true?
I do. Yes, I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Say, "I do."
Yes, I do.
By the grace of God.
By the grace of God.
Amen. No help. Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? If so, say, "I do." By the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession in church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, say, "I do by the grace of God."
I do by the grace of God.
Do you desire to become a member of this congregation?
Yes, I do.
Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts that God has given you?
Everything I can do, yes, I do.
Upon this, your confession, I acknowledge publicly that you are a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation, Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Alamosa, Colorado. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church.
I do.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's say a prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing this, your daughter, Susan, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and emboldening her with a heart to believe and with a mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that by your word and spirit, she may continue steadfast in the one true faith, in the fellowship of this congregation, as together we await the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You can go back to your spot now if you're ready. Absolutely, yes, please. What a blessing. Glad to have you with us, Susan. At this time, we have an opportunity to return to the Lord a portion of the blessings that he's blessed us with in our times of tithes and offerings. We'll receive the offerings and they'll be collected and presented to the altar while we hear some instrumental music from our organist. Been joining us on the radio this morning. We thank you for tuning in to our service today. Wish you the Lord's blessings as we go together in his peace. If you're gathered here in the sanctuary, we invite you to please stand and turn over to page 9 in your bulletin for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given us your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate of the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption that you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessing of forgiveness, life, and salvation that comes to us in his body and his blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our...
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. The latest ABC News Ipsos poll out today shows Americans believe Vice President Kamala Harris won last week's presidential debate against former President Trump. Harris with a 6-point lead among likely voters, 52 to